two plus wall NBA episode New Knickerbockers. Today, me, Rob, the pod god, is joined by my boy Jeff, aka Vader Nation 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that off rip. I didn't have to look. I know we interact on. Jeff is a Knicks fan. God bless his soul. So, for those that are new to this style of pod, we're just going to talk quick Knicks stuff. We'll do one for every team, God willing, with a different guest. We'll talk about additions, subtractions, their record last year. Will they make the playoffs? Will they be better than last year? And any other major storyline involving the team. But before that, I want Jeff to just qualify your Knicks fandom. Favorite Knick of all time.
I mean, my major Knick life has been, you know, Ewing, Sprewell, Melo. Melo is my guy. I've always loved Melo, even before he was a Knick in Denver. And when they got him, I remember sitting in my coach's basement, seeing the trade go through, jumping up and down, being so pumped that we got him. Too bad we screwed him and didn't do anything for him while he was here, except for that one season. But besides that, he's my guy, always will be.
All right. We're going to absolve Melo from just waiting out the time in Denver and bouncing so they didn't have to give up all those assets. We're going to absolve. That's my guy, too.
I mean, yeah, we could have killed him for it, but let's put it this way. I don't really care at this point. The guy was the one guy who wanted to come here.
And that matters because New York is a market where, like, if you're – don't bring weak shit here.
Exactly.
If you're going to fold, don't come around this way.
And he so far has been the one guy in however many years to have the balls to be like, I wanted it. So no matter how he got here, I appreciated it.
Also, somewhere – Amari Stoudemire is rolling over in his grave.
I mean, yeah, Amari was great for 30 games, but at the end of the day, he was great for 30 games and dead for the other 4 years he was here.
Yeah, but Amari was the first one that said, I wanted it.
Yes, but also we were the only one giving him the money to come here and because he knew his knees were shot after 30 games.
Son, the son said, nah, them knees is bad because.
Exactly.
What's your favorite Knick memory?
I have a couple. Honestly, like I started dating my now wife during that amazing 54 win season. And I remember we started dating and then all of a sudden, like we just started talking to each other. And then the Knicks went on like a 10 game win streak. And I said to her, I was like, I'm hanging out with you every time they play. I don't care. You're like my good luck charm. And then that luck eventually faded. But that, and I remember the Easter game against Chicago, where Melo hits the two giant threes. I screamed my head off. I had a giant headache after, and I had to go to my family's house for Easter. But I had a giant headache from yelling and screaming at the TV for a couple hours. And I sat there at my aunt's house with, like, a towel on my head because I couldn't deal with people due to the headache.
All right. So some of my favorite Knicks moments are the four-point play, the LJ four-point play, yes. The Grandma Ma joint. Melo doing Brandon Bass dirty in the corner.
Oh yeah, the spin
with like a jumper. Series of like crossovers, in and outs, and hezzies
into the spin around.
Oh
jumper.
My god! Like that is when you say things like, "Yeah, basketball is more art than sport." Yeah. Because that level of creativity, like, is just, it was so masterful.
It was. I miss him.
Son, Melo was. All right, and my last Knicks question is, what were your thoughts on Linsanity? Like, when it was happening,
the people that kill them for letting him go, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Yes, he went on a 2-week hardcore bender where he was just awesome and he was playing great. But people that killed the Knicks for letting him go or anything like that, I just point to what the hell did he do when he left? I mean, he turned a 2-week heater essentially into a 7-year NBA career. And then he was complaining of the NBA, let him go and this and that. I was like, you had a good 2 weeks and you made 7 years out of it. You should be counting your lucky stars because not a lot of guys get that.
And he's an NBA champion now.
Yes, exactly. He got to sit on the end of the Toronto bench and win a ring.
All right, let's get down to business. The major subtractions I have listed, as somebody who doesn't watch the Knicks nearly as much as you, I feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah.
Are Taj Gibson and Bobby Portis. Am I missing another major subtraction?
Not really. I mean, they lost Wayne Ellington, but not really a subtraction.
Also, Bobby Portis will punch your teammates in the face, and I'll always love him for that.
I could honestly, you could have taken him off the key losses too, because I was not a fan.
Additions are Emmanuel Quickley with the 25th pick, which I thought was a reach, but you do what you have to do when you have all those Kentucky people in the front office.
Yeah, Lexington, New York, that's what we're called now.
Is that what it's been called?
That's what I've seen it been called, Lexington, New York.
Good. I like that. I'm with that. Obi Toppin at 8, who I definitely want to touch on. Miles Powell was an undrafted free agent. And like I told you off air, if I think a player sucks and he's undrafted, I won't add him to the additions or subtractions. I just happen to think Miles Powell can really hoop and is a savvy pickup from the undrafted rookies.
Yes.
Austin Rivers.
Take
the
look
on your face says that we might not have needed to add him to the.
I mean, honestly, you could honestly say that about all the deals that they made this offseason, with the exception of the draft picks.
And Ed Davis.
Well, Ed Davis is no longer here.
Ed got moved already?
Yeah, he got moved 2 nights ago. He got moved to Minnesota for Amari Spellman, Jacoby Evans.
Oh, I did see that.
And I just saw right before we came on a 2026 second rounder. The Knicks are like the Oklahoma City Thunder in getting second rounders this week.
I did see that, and that reminds me of, you know, another dude I'm really, really into? Amari fucking Spellman.
Me too.
And he hasn't shown shit at the NBA level. He had an okay time in Golden State. But dudes who can shoot like that and are mobile, like you, I just won't give up on a dude like that.
No, and then the reports came out that he was the main piece of the trade. They didn't really care about the second rounder. That was a toss in. They really just wanted Spellman in the deal, and they seem to be happy with that. And they think he has something for them, which I do too. I mean, I'm a Villanova guy. I thought he shouldn't have left after his 1 year there. He wasn't really there for 1 year. He was a redshirt freshman.
And also he was a prep kid, I believe.
Yeah, well, he went to like 6 different high schools or some crap like that, which is why he had to redshirt his first year.
You know, but like eventually, so that would have made him a sophomore, damn near a senior's age. So like,
exactly. His rookie year in the NBA, he was 21 and he was.
Yeah, so your clock starts ticking and then once you're 22, it's.
Yes.
Was he really even good, or is he just a man amongst boys in college?
I mean, that team was a man amongst boys.
That was the best offensive team I've – it's one of the 3 best college teams I've ever seen.
Yes.
And probably the 2nd best offensively, and I'm sure if we looked at numbers and metrics, they were better than the team I have number 1.
Yeah. They were top to bottom unbelievable. They're National Player of the Year. They had the best 6th man of the year. They had 4 guys go to the pros that year and another one the year later. So
they were fun. Jay Wright, gang.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are you on Obi Toppin? He has been semi-polarizing.
All right. So here's the thing when it comes to me. I'm one of those big draft guys. I love the draft. And I'm always, because the Knicks are always in the bottom of the draft, I'm always really into it. And usually after 24 hours of no matter who they pick, I have talked myself into them. I didn't get there with him yet. Only because I just don't, I am one of those people that think the power forward position in the NBA is dead. Unless you have a polarizing star like Anthony Davis at the four, I don't think that position really matters anymore. I think you need the guys that are like 6'8" that can defend and shoot threes unless they're a star. And right now he does not have the defensive side of the ball that I would like, especially with Thibodeau. And, you know, the other problem is you drafted him number 8 overall. He's probably the oldest rookie in the NBA. And as of right now, you have a guy, another Kentucky guy, sitting in his place at that $18 million is Julius Randle. Now, I think if you're going to draft Toppin, Randle needs to go, and he needs to go now. I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know if they have something in place because they still have $8 million they have to spend to get to the cap floor, and they already have 16 players on guaranteed contracts, plus Miles Powell, and two-way guys. So someone's got to go. I don't know who it's going to be. It's probably going to be Jacoby Evans if they're just going to cut somebody. But I think they need to use that Randle deal and whatever else they need to go get a real point guard because this team does not have one.
So, like I said, me and you converse over the Twitter sphere sometime.
Yeah.
We got into a conversation about Kentucky guys. You asked me, what are my thoughts on the Kentucky guys? And I'm very bullish on Maxey. I gave you my thoughts on Emmanuel Quickley. And your response is, I'm actually higher on Quickley. And yes. This is October 27th.
This is a month before that. Yeah.
This is a month before the draft. You got Quickley. Where do you stand on him?
I still love him. I think he's going to be a good – I see him as like a Lou Williams in this league where he can come off the bench and shoot and get you buckets. I don't think he's – you know, he's not going to be your point guard, but I think he's a guy that can come off the bench for you and actually do stuff.
My favorite parts about Quickley are that dude doesn't miss a free throw.
Yes.
But he will not miss a free throw. He's the most underrated shooter in the draft because, like, there's guys that have reputations as, hey, he's a shooter. That dude strokes the fucking rock.
For sure.
And then he's not going to do dumb stuff. No. And I think that's my favorite thing in a rookie point guard. Like, unless I'm, like, giving you the reins for you to play through your mistakes, how I think Detroit should do with Killian Hayes, unless it's that kind of situation, come in and be super solid and super smart.
Yes.
And that's what he'll do. What about the other signings? Rivers, Noel, do they move the needle for you?
I like Noel. I like that he's essentially the same skill set as Mitchell Robinson. So that when you're bringing one guy off the court and the other guy's going on, it's essentially the same guy. Maybe one's better than the other, but you're getting the same exact skill set. So your offense doesn't really have to change at all or anything like that. Alec Burks, they signed. He'll be great to trade at the deadline for another second rounder. That's pretty much his destiny, I think. Rivers, I'm not really sure what they're going to do with him. They brought Elfrid Payton back, which made me want to kill myself. I could not stand watching him. And if he's back as their starting point guard again next year, I am not going to be happy. But besides those guys and Spellman, those are the guys I was really looking forward to. But
would you have preferred they take in a point guard in the draft?
Yeah, I wanted Halliburton or Lewis.
I thought Halliburton was going to be the name that came up from you.
Halliburton and Lewis were the two guys I wanted. I actually was more on Lewis. My cousin actually got me onto Halliburton a little bit more, but Lewis was still my guy that I wanted first, even though Halliburton was more ranked higher. I didn't think he was going to be there at 8, honestly. The fact that he fell to 12 was shocking, but Lewis was the main guy I wanted. I actually wanted even to trade back for him if possible, but he ends up going to 13, and I think that's where the Knicks really need to start doing their job, is they need to start making some phone calls to these teams that have a cluster of point guards like New Orleans does.
All right. How are we on the new front office? No, no, actually, before we get to the front office, where do you stand on Tibbs?
Love Tibbs. Love guys that want to coach defense and all that stuff. But yeah, it's a New York thing. It's the reason I love Frank Ntilikina. I'm part of the Frank Hive because he plays defense. He has that elite skill that not many people in the league do. And if Tibbs can get that out of everyone else, I'm all for it. I mean, it's after watching Fizdale in the beginning of last year, who honestly I don't think he knew what he was doing. He with the lineups he was throwing out there left and right, and RJ Barrett starting at point guard one night, then Trier starting at point guard another night. It was just no continuity. I hope that this coaching regime, which seems to be, you know, they player development, they hired a bunch of player development guys. They hired your guy, Kenny Payne. They hired Johnny Bryant from Utah. They really want the player development thing. So hopefully this season starts out with a lot of the young guys getting the minutes that they should be getting compared to these guys on these one-year deals.
Oh, man. Losing Kenny Payne.
It's a killer for Kentucky, but...
the kids loved him. Like, they adored him.
I know. Quickly tweeted about him today because he went to the Knick facility and he was there already and he just loved it.
All right. So, and the new front office kind of goes hand in hand with this.
Yes. Lexington, New York.
What are your expectations for the Knicks this year? What would be a successful season?
I can't say right now because I don't know what they're doing in terms of they have another move to make. That $8 million that has to get spent to get to the cap floor with whatever they're thinking with Julius Randle. I hope they're packaging the two to get something. I mean, I don't want Russell Westbrook. I don't want John Wall. Because their contracts are just so I would take John Wall if his contract wasn't as crazy as it was. But Westbrook, I want no part of. I really think the Knicks need to start. They need to call New Orleans and kick the tires of what the price would be for Lonzo Ball.
That's a good place to start.
I would, you know, and honestly I think a guy like Randall for New Orleans could be there this year at least because he's only on a one-year guaranteed deal. He could be their Zion insurance. Because they're kind of the same skill set, big guys who can dribble a little bit, get to the basket, not great shooters. And Zion, if he's going to be healthy, God knows, I don't think so. But if Zion were happen to go down, Randall can step into that role that they have Zion in. So I think it makes sense, especially since they have, you know, 4 point guards on their roster right now.
So the Knicks PR has been bad for...
Oh, yeah.
For a while.
Very bad.
And I know that this is, in general, bad business, and this is why nobody does it. And I'm not saying the whole $8 million, because I know that's preposterous. Would you be against the Knicks being $2 million under the salary floor and just letting what happens when you're under the floor happen, where you divvy out the money amongst the players?
I'm sure they'd be fine with that. I don't really see Dolan really caring because Dolan's got money coming out of his ass. But I would like to see them use that $8 million plus Randall's salary to go do something with it.
No. I agree. But, like, just because they've been so – a $2 million PR, positive PR.
Yeah, to put give their guys a little extra money. Yeah, I could see that. I'd be happy with that if I was the player.
I don't want them to use the whole $8 million, and maybe they don't even use – maybe they use $7.5 million, but yeah. Just, like, don't make Philly – I can't remember what it was, but Philly made, like, just, like, an asinine move, like, just like a general fuck you to the players move to get above the floor.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, it didn't help anybody.
Yeah, I just think that they have to make some. I mean, unless they're just going to cut somebody, which I don't know who that would be at this point. I mean, it might be Jacoby Evans, who they just got in that deal with Amari Spellman, or they cut Reggie Bullock. I mean, they're not going to cut Frank or Dennis Smith. They're not going to cut anyone else that they have. So it's got to be one of those guys that they have to get down to the roster number. So it's either that or they're trading Randall with a couple of them for something.
So they grabbed their front office is guys that were formerly involved in college somewhat. Do you
Worldwide West and those guys,
Do you think that is why some of the their free agent additions this year, you could call that the people they added this offseason, you could call them pedigree guys?
Rivers
went to Duke. Ed Davis is a Carolina guy. Nerlens Noel is a Kentucky guy. These are all former five-star guys. Like, that's something that I often note. Like, the Kings were really big on successful college players the last when they had Frank Mason and Harry Giles. They were like, they were making a conscious effort to, oh, this player was successful in college. Let's give a whirl here.
The Knicks are also, and even in the draft, they did that. You know, Toppin was player of the year. Quickly was SEC player of the year. Powell was Big East player of the year. So they seem to be deep into the college game, which I like. But it feels like everything this year is kind of at this moment, unless something crazy happens with that Randall money. It seems like they're just really just pushing for the 2021 offseason. And they're looking forward to that draft, which everyone is saying is one of the deepest that they've had. Cade Cunningham
is a bad man.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham season, the kid Suggs in Gonzaga, BJ Boston at Kentucky. There's a bunch of guys. So I think that's what they're really looking forward to. You even saw Leon and I can't stand him, but Scott Perry was watching that Kentucky Pro Day that they had, that virtual Pro Day. Mm-hmm. They had Leon's mug on the giant screen watching. So I think that's what they're really looking forward to. Unless, you know, they make a trade for a guy like Lonzo, or if they take on Wall or Westbrook, which I hope they don't. But
what are your expectations for RJ this year?
My expectations are, I hope that he plays really freaking well. I want to see him get to, I want the ball in his hands. I don't want to watch Elfrid Payton and Julius Randle play buddy ball where the two of them are dominating everything. I want to see RJ have the ball in his hands, making plays, getting to the rim. Hopefully the jumper is improved. His free throw number goes up percentage-wise, and he gets to like that 20-a-game kind of guy that everyone thought he could be 2 years ago. The fact that he was left off the old rookie team just because his shooting percentages wasn't great, I thought was ridiculous. I mean, the guy had the worst shooting team around him and probably in NBA history in the modern era. And to kill him for having to play in that system, I thought was ridiculous by the voters. But hopefully this year, with a little bit more shooting, guys like Burks and Spellman and even Austin Rivers to an extent, and Toppin was a good shooter in college. Apparently, I mean, let's see if that translates. Quickly is a great shooter, so let's hopefully get those guys around him a little bit more minutes. I'd like to see Iggy Brazdeikis get some minutes because I thought he was, I mean, in the things I saw from him in the G League, honestly, I don't think Kevin Knox could have done what he did in the G League last year.
Ugh. Well, you brought him up. Let's talk about him. You want to talk about a dude that like breaks my heart as a fake graduate of the University of Kentucky?
Yeah.
What are realistic expectations for him?
Honestly, I would have been fine with him last year if he just, his defense is just so bad. He can't guard anybody. And maybe it's just him being after this. Maybe he just has to guard fours that aren't, you know, athletically inclined to do the kind of things that he needs to. He moves like a baby deer. He doesn't really have that kind of like movement that you need to be that. Like he jumps, like he gets up really quick sometimes, like when he's on the break, and his shooting really kind of fell off, I thought, a little bit last year. And he just has no game off the dribble whatsoever, which is why when I say the things I saw Iggy do in the G League, Knox, I don't think could do, because Iggy was making plays off the dribble, making, you know, sweet spin moves and everything like that you would want from a guy on the wing. And I don't think Knox is even capable of that.
And the last, I don't even know if Knox is a member of your future, but your man Mitchell Robinson. There's a lot of Instagram videos of him having so much fun, like
shooting threes, dribbling, all that crap.
I want to kill those videos. Like, like there's part of me like that wants to work in basketball and do this for a living that's like, come on, Mitchell Robinson, work on a jump hook and post footwork. But then there's me that's like, yo, you love basketball because it's fucking fun. Yeah. Shooting 7 million jump hooks all summer isn't fun. Like, you want this guy to work hard? Like, love the game.
And also, nobody does jump hooks anymore. Like, that kind of game in the NBA is dead in terms of, like, the old school post-up guys. That
it really
doesn't exist anymore. That's why Jahlil Okafor is, like, a guy who signs, like, a two-year deal or a $2 million deal.
You want to talk about born 15 years too late?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, his game would have been – he's just from a different time.
Yeah, exactly. And now that you got guys that – like, I think Mitch is perfect for today's NBA. Run, jump, if he can step out and shoot a jump shot eventually off of, like, a pick and pop when he has a real guard that can get him the ball, great, awesome, I'll take it.
Not the pick and pop stuff that does worry me sometimes. It's the through the legs, behind the back spin jumper.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff just him, I think, fooling around. But in terms of, like, I saw a video of him yesterday or 2 days ago where he just made, like, 10 catch and shoot threes in a row off of, like, a practice thing, which, honestly, most NBA guys can do. I remember, like, a buddy of mine was, like, going nuts because he saw Durant was, like, working out after the Achilles thing and he was making jumpers. I'm like, every NBA guy can do that. Mitchell Robinson can do that. They can just stand still and make threes. Exactly. Like, that's what they don't realize. Like, all those NBA guys, if they're alone in a gym, they're going to make 10 in a row, no problem. Can he do it with a defense that's coming after him and stuff like that? Different story. And I guess we'll see if the coaching staff lets him try it or anything like that, which last year – I think he took, like, what, 2 jumpers the entire season.
Would you want him to try that?
At this point, with the team the way it is, yeah, I don't understand why they wouldn't. I mean, it's...
Yeah, like, just let it
fly. You're trying to figure something out to get the most out of these guys, and if that's something that can work, and if he's going to hit a couple, you know, and this is my problem with guys like Ben Simmons. Like, if you just shoot it once, it's going to make the defense at least have to come out there and look at you. Whether you make it or not, at least the defense will have to, like, oh, shit, he did shoot it. Maybe he'll shoot it again. And maybe it'll go in this time. You don't know. I mean, granted, you know, in the playoffs, it's a little different. They lay off of guys that can't shoot, and it helps sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Look at Lou Dort in Game 7 of the first round where he hits, like, 7 threes.
He was clicking.
But I think when you're a team like the Knicks right now where you're young and you're just trying to figure it out, I don't understand why they wouldn't let him do it.
All right, so they were 21-45 last year.
Yeah.
That is a 31%—they won 31% of their games.
I think they'll be a little bit better this year because they'll have a real coach for an entire season. I mean, that 21-45, that was 4-18 to start the year.
Yeah.
With Fizdale as the coach. So, and Miller came in and did a solid job. I think they were only 10 games under 500 with Miller. So.
That's about right, actually. Like, doing quick math in my head, that looks about right.
Yeah, so with a real coach and, you know, real guys, hopefully the young guys make an improvement. Hopefully RJ takes that step. And Mitch takes that step. I could see them being around that. They're still probably a bottom 3 team in the East this year just because of the uncertainty and the young guys and all that stuff. But I think they'll be headed in the right direction.
And normally here I would ask to predict your team's starting lineup, but I feel your team does have another move to make with the Randle contract as well as $8 million below the salary floor, and I'd assume Randle and $8 million get you a starter.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, it's obviously going to be Mitch and Randle with RJ, and I'm assuming it's going to be Frank with Peyton. If I had a guess right now, that's without.
Oh, you think there's a world where they don't start Obi Toppin? I don't care what happens to Julius Randle.
I'm not starting Toppin at the 3. That's just
me. No. Julius Randle got to wear this.
Oh, you want him off the bench? I'd be fine with that. I would take that. Honestly, that's what I think. I think Randle's best role is a small ball five off the bench.
I would agree with that. And even if his best role was starting power forward, you just took Toppin with the eighth pick and you saw the way New York reacted.
Yeah.
I don't care if Julius Randle thought he was going to sit his black ass at center court on the Knicks logo. He will not be starting over Obi Toppin.
I would hope so, but I just think that when a guy like him, and he's making legitimately $10 million more than anyone else on the roster, I don't think that they would sit him.
Well, then he got to go. He's got to go.
I want him traded in the worst way.
And like I love Julius Randle. He's got to go. It's just so important that you get Mitch and Toppin reps together because you do think that's your front court of the future.
Yeah. Like RJ needs to take 20 shots a game this year. Period. I don't care if they're good shots, bad shots. He needs to take 20 shots a game. And I don't think a guy like Randle will let him do that, especially with what else is on the roster. Like, that's what has to happen. And last year, Randle ate a lot of that.
All right. Is there anything else you think we missed on your New York Knickerbockers?
I think we touched on everything, pretty much. We hit every player, except for, like, Reggie Bullock, who, whatever.
He can shoot.
Yeah, he can shoot. Good vet to have around. They kept him for that reason. But, yeah, they need to make another move, I think. So, hopefully, they throw a nice deal at New Orleans to maybe get a guy like Lonzo. I would love for them to offer Randle and whatever else they need to get Lonzo. Maybe J.J. Redick wants out of there. I'll take him too on an expiring deal.
You won't get your hands on J.J.
I think they could get him if they kicked in enough.
I think J.J.'s stature within the league is – like, he's so well-respected in the league, that'll burn New Orleans with a lot of free agents if you send somebody that's respected like that somewhere to die, like New York. Like, he's trying to win a championship.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's on a one-year deal. And listen, this league is ruthless. I don't think it really matters at this point with them.
The league is ruthless.
Essentially, at this point, they're OKC. They're stockpiling assets, and that's what they want to do. And they have Ingram, which is pretty much their version of SGA, and they have Zion, who everyone wants to anoint as the next guy. But I mean, unless he can play 30 games in a season, I don't see how that happens.
The difference is, while OKC is stockpiling picks, they've also been able to accommodate sending guys to places they want to go.
I mean, I can't say that Steven. I mean, yeah, they did that for Chris Paul, but in terms
they did
of
that
I
for
mean,
Westbrook, they did it for Paul George.
Yeah, well, Westbrook was there for ages. I mean, the Paul George deal, they sent him where he wanted to go, but they got a king's ransom for it. So
they've been able to accommodate three really big stars and personalities into places they wanted to go.
Yeah,
and like while JJ's not one of those guys, the way word travels in small circles is, yo, New Orleans will fuck you. Like, I came here, thought we had a chance at the playoffs, and then they shipped me to a bottom feeder knowing I'm looking for a ring.
Yeah.
But JJ also has lived in the New York area, so maybe home would be home.
Yeah, I think so. And then, listen, if you gave me Lonzo Ball with Jay Redick and I have RJ Toppin and Mitch, what's honestly the difference between that team and New Orleans? It's really the same team. It's just up east. It's new. You got Toppin, who's pretty much Zion. You got RJ, who's a younger version of Brandon Ingram. And then you have Mitch, who's Steven Adams, essentially.
I don't know if Toppin and Zion are the same guy. Like, I know there's injury concerns with Zion, but like when he's healthy, he's a much, much better basketball player. Like, that guy's a really...
Yeah, I understand that. I just think last year he was... I just don't think he's ever going to be healthy. He's too big. And defensively, he was as bad as people are saying Toppin is right now. So...
I won't sell that stock just because that guy is... I do worry about his size because, like, when he does certain things, you look at him and you go, well, a human that big shouldn't move... shouldn't be that explosive. Because, like, that's what he is. He's, like, pure torque. He's just
torque.
Big. Pure torque. That guy's like a little motorcycle.
Yeah. I also don't like he's a giant in terms of width, but in length, you know, there was the game last year where I saw them play against Dallas, and he really struggled to deal with Dallas' size inside. He could not get shots off over Porzingis and Kleba. And if NBA teams have guys like that around to guard him, I think eventually his stuff will go down if he's not making jumpers.
And that's the big thing for him. Like, how does the jump shot develop?
Yeah. Which Coppin is ahead of him in that game right now.
All right, Jeff, plug your Twitter where they can find you.
At FaderNation5 on Twitter.
Do you have anything else to plug? Are you doing anything else basketball related? Just tweeting?
No, nothing right now. Just looking forward to the NBA season to get back up. Villanova basketball starting Wednesday night. So let's go Nova. Let's go Knicks.
All right, wait. Before we let you go, Sadiq Bey.
Sadiq Bey to Detroit. I liked what Detroit did in the draft until free agency. What they pretty much did with the Knicks did last year and signed a bunch of big guys.
Yeah, paid a good dozen dollars for Denver's backup bigs.
Exactly. I did not understand anything of that, especially when they drafted a kid at 16 who was another big. And they saw Blake Griffin, who they're paying a shit ton of money to.
So what should I look for from Sadiq Bey in the NBA this year?
He's a guy who's going to guard any position that you want him to. You know, he was guarding guys like Miles Powell, who's a point guard, and he guards whoever you need him to. His shot is kind of funky, but it goes in. He kind of shoots it from his hip a little bit, but it gets up there. It's a weird set shot, but it goes in. I think it's just hard with Detroit. I'm not really looking at their roster being like, that's a good team. I think, honestly, them and the Knicks are probably the two worst teams in the Eastern Conference, with Cleveland as that third. But, you know, I think if he had gotten drafted to a better team, I would have liked it a little bit more. Like, you know, if he had went to, like, a San Antonio or a team like that where they're kind of on the precipice. But with Detroit, if he's going to have to do stuff on his own to create, I'm not really sure he's that guy.
All right. Once again, that is Jeff, FaderNation5, our in-house Knicks fan. Jeff, thank you for your time. This has been the Shaw's Law Podcast. I'm Rob Shaw. Please don't forget to subscribe and tell a friend and leave us an iTunes review. Be very much appreciated.
All right. Thanks, Rob.